Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Driven toward right. Did he keep it fair? It's near the pole. It is gone! Swing and a high fly ball. Tomahawk deep left center field. Goodbye! Swing and a high fly ball deep right center field at the track, at the wall. Melky leaps. He won't get it. Three-run homer, and the Braves are off the deck. Big fly, Josh Donaldson, a three-run homer. Freeman with a home run.
Tim Carey last night at Fox Sports South, and the Braves come off the deck. Boom, boom, boom. Seventh, eighth, ninth. Home run, home run, home run. And after being down 5-1 or 5-2 early in the game, I guess it was 5-2, 4-1 in the first, 5-2 in the second because Max Fried didn't have it, the Braves come off the deck to score 9 runs in their final 3 at-bats and beat the Pirates 12-5 last night and stay within a half game of first. And welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Boom, boom, boom. How about them Braves bats last night?
Clutch. Austin Riley has been in some significant moments for the Atlanta Braves this year. There's no question about that. Don't want to say clutch moments because of the fact that, you know, it's still a lot of baseball left to be played, but still has had some very, very significant hits to allow the Braves to win games. It's been very, very good for him.
Yeah, he went the other way last night, down the line and right. So he's hit home runs to center, right center, left center, down the line and left. And he, with a hanging slider last night, hit it into the seats right down the right field line, about a foot and a half fair, it looked like, and it hit his ninth home of his big bombs for Austin Riley last night. We're talking about the Braves' 12-5 win over the Pirates, and we're not going to make too much out of this. It's a win in early June to keep them within a half a game of first place. It's just the way that – it's sort of like what this team potentially could do. Now, Hugh, you build teams – Earl Weaver is a Hall of Fame manager, right? Was a won a lot with the Baltimore Orioles, and Earl Weaver was a big – three-run home run guy. But mm-hmm. He had that kind of a team back in the late 60s and early 70s with guys like Frank Robinson and John and Boog Powell and Brooks Robinson. He had these big sluggers, and so he was a three-run home run guy, and that's how he won. Braves are getting three-run home runs like they were on sale last night, and Austin Riley has kind of turned this team into a bit of a slugging team.
Yeah, man, the contribution that he's had over the last few weeks, and again, like I said, the moments that he's given us as Braves fans, really makes you feel like this team is going to be something special real soon. It really, really does. Now, I know that I've said it more than once. You wait to see how he's going to handle adversity because he really hasn't had it yet. But the story that he's writing for himself this early so far has been really good for him.
Yeah, he's only played 18 games.
Yeah, confidence should be through the roof. So I can't foresee him being, if he does go into slump, I can't see him going in one for long. I really can't.
In 18 games, he has 9 home runs and 25 RBIs. In 18 games. Now, he could never keep that up over 162 games. You wouldn't think he could keep it because it's impossible because the pace on that for a 162-game season is 81 home runs and 225 RBIs. That kind of gives you a perspective of how hot he's been.
Very, very hot.
You know, I mean, he would shatter every record known to man in the history of Major League Baseball. That's how hot he's been. And somebody said to me last week, and I went, I don't know, or maybe a few days ago, you know, how about the idea of Austin Riley being in the Home Run Derby? And I went, I don't know about that. I mean, he's only been up a few games. I'm starting to think more and more about it.
It would be interesting to see him in there. He's been on such a tear these last 18 games, John, that it's almost becoming kind of hard not to kind of project potentially what he could be. Mm-hmm. And I know that's real premature. 18 games in baseball is too small of a sampling size. But again, like I say, in key moments for the Atlanta Braves this season, damn near every game that he's played in, he's done something very significant. He has.
The Braves win last night, coming off the deck. Again, Max Fried didn't have his best game, gave up four runs in the first, gave up another run in the second. Matter of fact, I think he had like eight or nine hits against him.
Yeah, it was kind of tough for him. Yeah,
he was getting beat around, but the offense really came to life with three in the seventh, three in the eighth, three in the ninth. A lot of ways to get involved in the show, as you know. We always say to you that the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line is open at 404-741-0929. You can always call in as well at the same number and on Twitter at 929 The Game. Let's go to JR in Kennesaw, who joins us this morning. Hey, JR.
Good morning, John. Hugh, how y'all doing?
Good morning. Good morning, JR. How you doing this morning?
Hey, man, all is well. Hey, man, just three quick things. Like you said, Hugh, we don't know a lot about Anthony Davis, but I was listening to a little tidbit from Andy and John on yesterday, and they threw out the name Boogie Cousins, and John Chuckery instantly said he thought toxic to the locker room. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that would be something, you know, that Anthony Davis would bring in, you know, that would break up the locker room. But I thought it was kind of ironic that you guys threw that out there this morning. And then two other quick things is that I was listening to a tidbit from
We got to get to the Braves. JR, hey, JR, can I get back to the Braves for a second? We've got other people holding. What was your point about the Braves, if I can?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. How the Braves at any manner of the lineup, man, they can hit the long ball and get back in the game in a matter of a couple of swings. And one other quick thing, Hugh.
Yes.
You're talking about how big these Braves players are. I had the opportunity to meet Javier Lopez, man, in person. And you see them on TV, they don't seem that big. But, man, you talking about a big dude.
Yeah, Javi's a big dude. Yeah, I mean, no, that was why you said Freddie was big, and he is.
Well, 6'4". Yeah.
Right. And then there was a picture of him when we were playing the Yankees, standing next to Aaron Judge, and Aaron Judge made him look little.
Yeah, but when you see Freddie out there at first base, it's like, oh, he's not that big guy. But
oh no, he's a big guy.
Yeah, Freddie for me. Yeah,
and he had a big fly last night too. He had another home run. Austin Riley and Freddie talking after the game about what happened last night. Now Austin Riley's got everything you want in a rookie, right? I mean, my wife the Maven, my daughter Danny. Their first reaction to Austin Riley wasn't, oh, he can hit home runs. What was their first reaction? Oh, he's cute.
That ain't the first time I've heard that. I've heard that in this office a couple times, to be totally honest. Well, and, you know, I mean, you know, that's the thing that women notice.
Uh-huh.
They notice that.
Well, we notice if a girl's hot, so I guess that's only fair. But they said he's got that game going for him, too. So apparently he's got the girls going, ooh, and the guys going, wow. And this is the third part of the game that's the package, and that is how do you do in interviews and on camera? Well, this is Austin Riley after the game talking about the game and about this team.
It doesn't matter if we're down 10-0 or whatever, you know, it's, you know, 1-9, you know, you never know what's going to happen. And even in the bullpen, those guys are going to come out there and give us a best chance to win. And, you know, it's just, you know, so much fun to come to the yard every day. You know, honestly, expect to win every day. And so it's awesome. You know, so happy.
Okay, he's a rook. In one way, we found he's a rookie. That's understandable. I mean, we're going to get cliche, you know, come to the yard every day and win. And he's only played 18 games. What's he going to do? He can't possibly say anything.
I mean, he wants to be he's in the moment.
Right.
And, you know, I'm pretty sure for him, you know, to be one of the guys that's at the major leagues that is always doing interviews at the end of the game for something significant that he's done, it's probably something he's definitely going to have to get used to. It's something that he's not accustomed to. He'll get better. I mean, everybody that has played professional sports at the highest level grows through that, and they just have to get comfortable with dealing with the media on a day-to-day basis.
And so he is, yeah, and it is, and he's only played 18 games, and that's fine. I actually, this is what I want. Last night, Freddie joined a very elusive club, 300 doubles, 200 home runs as a member of the Braves, and Freddie said this about that milestone.
It's pretty cool. It really is. I'm not one to talk about this kind of stuff. You're making me uneasy making me talk about this, but today was pretty cool. You know, usually I do some stuff like this and we always lose, it seems like. So it's nice to finally get a win when something cool like this happens.
Yeah, and he's right. You know, every time I think about Freddie hitting some kind of milestone, it's in a loss and he's got to kind of downplay it. You know, he's got to go, yeah, okay, it's nice, but we got to win the game. Well, they finally won a game, and he had this big milestone, and good for Freddie. I mean, it's interesting to me that Freddie Freeman, you know, as great a player as he is, sometimes doesn't get the, I don't know, the adulation, the attention, you know, some of the props, whatever you want to call it, of the quality of player that he is, because he is kind of a low-key guy, and he just does it on a consistent basis so often that you just go, oh, yeah, that's Freddie.
Yeah, I mean, he's the guy that when you watch the Braves play and you see the things that are happening, it's almost like when they say Manny being Manny, it's just Freddie being Freddie because that's what he does. Mm-hmm. Nothing's wrong with that. And I think his personality is that it doesn't bother him that he's not getting all the accolades. He just wants to go out there and be a consistent player. And he's been that since I've been watching him. He's been that guy that you look at and you know what he's going to bring to the ballpark every day.
Morning Show with John and Hugh. We're talking about the Braves rallying last night with 3 in the 7th, 8th, and 9th on home runs from Donaldson, Freeman, and Austin Riley to win 12-5. Now tonight, Kevin Gausman on the mound in Pittsburgh. Kevin Gausman's going to have to show us something. You know, we still have concerns about Gausman. We still have some concerns about Fulton Evich. Maybe a little bit of concern after Max Fried got bounced around last night, but we think he'll bounce back.
Not so much for Max Fried. You know, he was bound to have a night like that because he's been pretty consistent throughout. Mm-hmm. So he was bound to have a night like that. Now, Gausman, on the other hand.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he needs to probably step it up a little
bit. And so we have to have him have a good outing here. You know, everybody's been on Kimbrel watch. Craig Kimbrel, the star reliever. And whether he would return to the Atlanta Braves. Maybe we ought to be on Dallas Keuchel watch. Paul Crane, who does the Scouts Honor podcast and is one of our news members here, of course, very tapped into baseball, was tweeting last night that it's down to three teams, the Braves, the Yankees, and Minnesota, and that Keuchel's received an offer from New York. And this morning I see the New York Post is saying that offer, Hugh, is 1 year, $18 million. That's what the Post is reporting this morning.
That's not bad. I mean, not bad.
And MLB.com is now saying, even going farther than Paul, saying it's down to the Yankees and Braves. So if you want to give him more than 1 year, if you want to give him more than $18 million, remember one of the things that nobody talks about with Dallas Keuchel. It depends on how much he likes his facial hair.
Yeah, if he's going to shave or not. But I just heard reports that he would, hey, if that's the case, he would shave. But if you could be here for the same money and keep your beard, I'm keeping my beard. If the money, and then, you know, when you think about it, $18 million down here goes a longer way than it does up north. Just saying. Taxes and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. And, well, yeah. Taxes
is he a
are right
man?
Now.
Is Kimbrel single? Probably not. But if he isn't, the women look way better. Not saying that they look bad in New York, but they're nice here.
You know, that Yankees team thing with the having to shave, the must-shave thing.
That's been going on like that for years.
I know. I mean, but wouldn't the Players Association say something about that?
Why?
I don't know.
I mean, it's a clean look. I mean, that's the way the Yankees do business. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you know, that's anybody that plays for the Yankees has to do that. So I don't think the players have too much of a problem with it because they do it, mm-hmm. You know, playing for that franchise. So, yeah, I don't think they have much of a problem.
Well, yeah, but if it's like the Power Ranger thing, would you do it? I mean, if your choices were.
I'd shave my beard off in a heartbeat, but I let it grow back. Now, to have it off for an extended period of time, mm-hmm. I don't think I could do that. I just don't. Because my biggest problem with my beard and my kids tell me this all the time, I don't groom mine enough. I just kind of let it just do what it do. I look like I'm, you know, unkept for a long time. And I don't have a problem with that, but most people feel like, you know, they want to clutch their purse when I walk past something. Like, I'm going to do something. So they're like, you know. You know, I gotta. I think this go around when I let my beard grow back, I have to make a conscious effort to go to the barbershop to get it trimmed on a weekly basis.
Yeah,
or
it'd be
two
interesting.
Week basis.
You know, if we're on Dallas Keuchel watch and not on Craig Kimbrel watch, Keuchel, you know, here's a guy who's only been, and he's a fairly young guy. He's barely about 30 years old. He's only been in the majors 5-6 years. He does have a Cy Young, been on the All-Star team a couple of times. Is a very good starting pitcher and is a veteran starting pitcher that can really help, especially if you start thinking about potential postseason. You know, dog days of summer, race, postseason, that's where Keuchel can really, he's been through that. That would be a big help to this Atlanta Braves franchise. So, you know, Keuchel can really help this team. There's no question about that. And with, you know, Kevin Gausman pitching tonight, we'll see what we get. Because right now I think Kevin Gausman is kind of on the clock. So I'm not opposed to Dallas Keuchel. How about Holt? So I don't think we're getting Kimbrel. I don't know why, but I'm stuck. There's other news on this very busy Wednesday. Will the Falcons trade for a running back? That's floating out there. We'll tell you which running back. If they do, next, after a CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason.
We have guys that want to be here. They'll show that. They'll voice that. Obviously, you know, he's going to handle his stuff how he wants. You're either on this train or you're not. It's moving. You can get out the way or you can join us. So it is what it is.
That was Baker Mayfield talking about Duke Johnson and whether or not he's going to be a member of the Cleveland Browns this season. Baker saying, hey, you're either with us or you're against us kind of thing. And Duke's not sure where he's going to be. And you're not sure if he's with him or against him.
You know what? I got to say this about young quarterback Baker Mayfield. The way that he handled his old coach, Hugh Jackson, I was about to say Samuel Jackson, something crazy. But the way he handled him, I had an issue with that because of the way he said, you know, if you're not with us, you know, if you're not a part of this, you're not with us, then you move on or whatever, the way you play this.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But I will say this, by him saying that about one of his teammates and being, you know, direct like that, I don't have a problem with that. I really don't. Because you have so many quarterbacks that play this game that like to dance around certain things and play games.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Roethlisberger is a guy that comes to mind, him and Antonio Brown's situation. For Baker Mayfield to come out and be as direct as he has been when he's discussing certain matters when it comes to his team because he's fully embraced the Cleveland Browns, I don't have a problem with that. I really don't. I mean, it might rub some people the wrong way. He might say some things that might get you in your feelings, but at the end of the day, you have to respect that because when you think about quarterbacks as a whole and when they're in press conferences and how they have to dance around certain things that they say, for him to come out and be as direct, I don't have a problem with that.
This is the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. As we get into this Wednesday, the Falcons are, you know, potentially making news. There's some rumblings out there. Duke Johnson was a star at the University of Miami. He's been in the league now, 4 years, I believe, and has...
He ain't happy.
Not happy because what's happened with the Browns is they went out and got some kid from Athens. What was his name? Chubb or something.
That did a pretty darn good job. Yeah, and then they went out and got that other guy who had some issues.
Yeah, Kareem
Hunt. That had some issues. Yeah. That's pretty good running back. Yeah. So he feels like he's the odd man out.
Because he is the odd man out with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Now, Kareem Hunt's not going to play the first half of the year. And the new coach up there is saying, Freddie Kitchens is saying, we need Duke Johnson because Kareem Hunt's not going to be eligible until halfway through the season because he's been suspended for the first half of the year because of the domestic violence incident. So they need Duke Johnson. But Duke Johnson's like, hey, you know what? I want to go somewhere. And this is what Duke is saying about wanting to kind of maybe skedaddle out of Cleveland.
I think it's best that, you know, we find a middle ground and we do what's best for the team. If you don't want me here, no need to keep me or force me to be here if you don't want me here. I've always wanted to be here, and I made it very clear, especially after going 1-15, then 0-16, and re-signing here. I made it very clear my intention was.
You know, that's a fair point. He won one game in two seasons and still re-signed with them.
Yeah, but this is the thing. In football, you go in, you come into the game knowing you're like milk. You have an expiration date. And you try to get as much from the game as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And when has it become football has become a place where if you don't want to compete, you just up and just say, forget it, I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, yeah, Kareem Hunt's a pro bowler. Who's talking about? Sony Michel?
Nick Chubb
last year had a great couple of games for them.
Unfortunately, one was against us.
Yes. For you to see that and then all of a sudden don't want to compete, come on, man. You are like they don't have a transfer portal in the pros. That's basically what you're saying. You see what's going on. Instead of you competing, you want to go somewhere else. And guess what? This is the way I would look at it. I'm gonna get my money regardless. Because you're going to get an opportunity. If you get cut, you're going to get an opportunity to sign somewhere else. You're going to get that opportunity. And you're going to get an opportunity to probably sign for more money. Or if they see, like, if you go out there, you produce, you've been a good soldier, you're going to get traded to somebody. You're going to, you might not have the control of where you want to go, but you're still going to get an opportunity to play. I don't see his issue. Yeah, they got another back. The NFL is, they're always looking to upgrade. You have to know that. But I don't understand why kids nowadays are afraid to compete or afraid to fail. If you fail, man, pick the pieces up and start over. Just do it somewhere else. Yes, just do it somewhere else. I don't understand that.
Well, Duke is not only is he still a fairly young back, 4 years in the league, but he doesn't have a lot of tread. Not a lot of tread taken off his tires, so to speak, because last year, last season, healthy all year, Duke Johnson only had 40 carries the entire season. Okay? That's, you know, you're talking less than three carries a game. You know, that's how little he got. He's only had 299 carries for his entire career. That's 300 carries in 4 years. That's their guys get 300 in a year. Man, I mean, so
Thing that I was always told about the NFL, if you don't get a chance to do it here, there's always 31 other teams that you can showcase your talents for.
Mike Clay of ESPN, NFL guy at ESPN, says the Falcons are on a short list of quote unquote interesting possibilities to acquire Duke Johnson.
And see, that's a great that would be a great fit for him. But my thing is this. Don't just automatically concede the fact that you're not going to play. I wouldn't do it. I mean, maybe that's just how I'm built a little different, but I just wouldn't concede the fact that I'm not going to see the field. I'm not going to do that. And, you know, I know what Nick Chubb did last year, and I know what Kareem Hunt's brought to the table. Darn it, I can play too. I don't understand that. I just don't. I just don't.
Yeah, and I really don't know how he fits in here. I mean, when you start to think about the issues, look, and again, we're talking about the Falcons. We're talking about Duke Johnson, who's not happy in Cleveland and whether he would fit here. And I'm about to explain why I don't think he fits. If you listen to the national media and what they think of what the Falcons will do this year, for the most part, the national media, and I'm not going to get into this, whether they're right or wrong, thinks the Falcons are hovering around a 500 team. All right. A lot of them are like 8-8, 9-7, based in large part about what they did last season in going 7-9, and based in large part about the fact that they didn't really upgrade in terms of certain positions of need, like defensive line, for example, or maybe cover corner. At least in their mind, Falcons didn't upgrade. So they're looking at the Falcons thinking, you know what, they're an okay team, but they're not great. They're a fringe wildcard team is what they're saying. If you start to think about the Falcons' issues, and there are plenty of them, running back may not be one. If Devontae Freeman is there and healthy, which he is, you still have this now Ito Smith coming into his second year, and you have I'm really intrigued with Quadri Olison. I'm really intrigued with him.
I would think though, you're talking about Johnson to compete. That's the biggest thing, and I would think that coming here, if Atlanta decided to trade for him, there's a strong opportunity that he would get a chance to play a lot. They're not trading for anybody who's not going to probably contribute, especially when you talk about potentially picking up his contract. But what's wrong with competing? I mean, you don't know.
Why would he compete here if he's not going to compete there?
Yeah, but that's the point that I'm making.
Yeah,
compete where you are.
Right.
Compete. And not only that,
and you
John,
got half a season too.
But not only that, put that good film out there, man. Like, the Cleveland Browns are not the only team in the NFL. And, you know, you talk about commitment and things of that. Yeah, they committed to you. They paid you. That's the only thing that they owe you. They gave you the money that they committed to you. They had an opportunity to upgrade their running back core, and they took it. You can't be mad at them for that. They gave you the money at the time. Kareem Hunt came available. They took it. But that doesn't mean you still can't compete. So in your mind, you're looking at it, Kareem Hunt's a better running back than you, which might be true. But as a football player, you're going to have to show me. Like, seriously. I mean, we're going into camp. You got to show me you better than me. And even when you show me that you might be better than me, I'm still not going to believe it. I'm still going to believe I'm a better back than you. That's the mentality that I don't understand why most kids nowadays, they just don't have that. They'd rather just go and concede the fact that they're not as good as somebody else just from what they've seen. That's ridiculous to me. It doesn't work like that.
Duke was a star at Miami. We get that. He was a star college running back. And again, he's only had 300 carries. He got 104 carries in his first year, his rookie year. And those have diminished over the – and again, he's not injured. Down to 40 last year where he sat on the bench behind Nick Chubb. He hasn't won the job yet.
But you don't give up. I don't think you give up in that situation. You just don't. You work a little harder. You go back. You watch film. You reassess your game. And you pick it up and know that there is going to be another opportunity somewhere else.
And see, I don't think sitting at home. And
that's ridiculous. Just sitting at home.
Yeah,
chilling.
I don't think Cleveland's going to trade him. I just think they look at it like this. You only have Nick Chubb. Well, only, but you have Nick Chubb, and you're not getting Kareem Hunt
for
six to eight weeks. Yeah, to the middle of the year. And if you believe, as Cleveland has to believe at this point with Freddie Kitchens, I think they go into the season believing they can win this division. They believe they can win this division. if they believe they can win this division, they're going to need somebody. What happens if Nick Chubb goes down in week two?
And then if you have three serviceable backs in that situation, that's good for you. I just think he's looking at it. I honestly think he's looking at it the wrong way. He's looking at it the wrong way. He's looking at it like he is a cast-off. Dude, you're still like, I would be like, hey, I'm still picking up my check every Tuesday. And if they decide to move on from me, there's 31 other teams. But I got to put that good film out there. Who is it? C.J. Anderson that played for – he was with the Rams. He was a guy that was a cast-off. He became one of the most productive running backs this last year for the Rams when Ty Gurley got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So you just never know, man. Listen, sometimes you just have to play your role until another role comes available. And I know that's kind of hard to do, and it's kind of hard to see at the time, but young kids especially, you can't get caught up in the now of what's going on. You have to wait and see. Just play it out. Let it play out. It's not. It has a chance to change. Just let it play out.
And I think of all the moves the Falcons can make to improve themselves here before the start of the season, running back is not an area that I would necessarily focus on, but you never know. I mean, Duke Johnson became available to them, and they wanted to make that happen. We could see something interesting. All right, tonight, big game, Oakland, California, game three. Now, critical. Is it a critical game three? And who's going to win game three tonight? That's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Curry spins, stumbles with a dribble, throws cross-court to Livingston. Good catch. Goes to Andre. He's open. Launches a three. Buried it! He buried it with 5.9 to go!
Kevin won't play tomorrow, but he's ramping up his exercise routine, his workouts. Clay is day-to-day, so he's questionable. And Loon is out, you know, for the series.
Yeah, Looney being out for the series. That's Steve Kerr, head coach of the Golden State Warriors. Kevin Durant hasn't played now in a full month.
The Slim Reaper.
The non-Reaper at the moment. And now will Golden State be out for without Klay Thompson? He's got a hamstring. For those of you who've never had, welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. If you've never had, you've never pulled a hamstring. I pulled a hamstring in a softball game in Chattanooga.
How you pull a hamstring, John?
Rounded third base.
I mean, no, but how did you physically do it? I mean, you don't like, you're not. I don't foresee you like having like blazing speed. Like, how do you pull a hamstring? I'm not trying to diss you though. I'm just saying. I'm not. Why y'all laughing? I'm just saying. I don't. Okay, I'm sorry. How did you pull your hamstring? You was I'm saying, I just don't see it. I don't see you pulling a hamstring. I just don't. I don't see you moving that fast. I just don't. I'm sorry. I just don't.
No,
just
he's
don't.
Not wrong. I'm not arguing his
it's
point.
Like, I'm like, damn, how you pulling a hamstring?
It'd be like, you know, you not being able to hit your driver. We do different things.
Yeah, I know. I can't hit my driver. But see, that don't bother me as bad as did me.
Well, when I was a younger man, I played baseball in junior college.
I'm not saying you're not athletic.
I was rounding third. I was 30. Okay, I was 31 fine. Years old. All right.
Okay.
I was a younger man. I was 31. I was rounding third base.
Okay.
I was on second, rounding third base in a softball game. Running as fast as I can, which isn't very fast, but fast enough apparently to pull a hamstring.
Did you stress before? But no, like
I didn't have enough
point.
Beer. This was a competitive softball league, not a beer league.
Uh-huh.
And so I was in a competitive softball league and a modified softball league. And so I was trying to score for the team, and I hit the bag at third and took a step too far. Anyway, if you've never had it, I instantly knew what it was. I reached back and grabbed my buttocks. It's like somebody takes a vice grip. Okay, it's like somebody, if you never have one, somebody puts one of your butt cheeks in a vice grip and goes to about 10.
Or feel like somebody shot you in the butt with a 12 gauge.
Right, exactly.
Like, I've never done it. I've never done it personally. I've tweaked one, but
and now I'm getting ragged by this. You're right.
I've seen like fast guys, like uh-huh. when they do it and they really pull it. Like, it's purple. It's like, man, it's probably one of the worst injuries you can have.
You can't, well, yeah, not tears.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't sit down.
Yeah.
I sat on like one cheek for about 2 weeks. I mean, it's just painful.
And on top of that, when you're a person that doesn't have a whole lot of body fat, it takes a while. Mm-hmm. It takes a long time. And then just to get all of those fibers healed up, because you'll get to a point where it feels like it's okay,
uh-huh.
and you'll run the risk of retweaking it. So if I would say, for him to have had an MRI, it is pretty, it's pretty severe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be one of those things where probably it's going to be his comfort level and how much pain he's willing to endure and how fluid he can move with having it if it's a little tweakage.
Here's what Clay said about you know, possibly wrapping it and rubbing some dirt on it and getting into the game tonight.
From the progress I've made these last 2 days, I'm very encouraged that I'll be able to go out there tomorrow night. And as long as nothing's torn or really injured, I'm not too fearful of it. I don't think this one is of greatest concern, but the day and age we live in where little things can just grow to be big problems, but I don't think this will be one of them.
Well, it may not be. Let's see what happens with Klay Thompson. But we got little things that are growing into bigger problems. You lose Looney. Now he's got a fractured cartilage in his rib. I never heard of this. He's out. Kevin Durant hadn't played in a month. And until some die, and I know Steve Kerr keeps talking to you about KD gets, you know, the one practice in and he could go. Well, okay, but he can't even get one practice in. If I'm a Golden State Warriors fan, I'm not planning on having Kevin Durant. So if Klay is limited or out and you have no Kevin Durant tonight, are you still okay for game three?
I don't think so, but I'm going to be tuned in as much as I possibly can because I want to see how Golden State responds to all of these injuries. We've seen in the past. We saw it the other night when they got the game in Toronto where they were basically reeling in that first half, and they locked it down. But Klay Thompson was one of the big reasons why they were able to go on that run because he kept them close in that first half. So now not having him out there, and, you know, there was some indicators that night that Steph Curry was sick. These guys are banged up. How are they going to respond tonight, knowing that they have all of this going against them? That's going to be the interesting thing.
I still think Golden State wins tonight, even if
Klay Thompson, going to be tough, man. That's going to be tough.
They have something that no other team in all of – well, maybe the New England Patriots have it. Maybe that's the other team that has it. It doesn't matter. It's like whatever you throw at them, they still overcome it. And as long as they have that quarterback, that guy, and nobody gives them enough credit. As long as you have Steph Curry, you can win a game. Yeah, yes, KD was the best player on the planet. Klay is a sniper and all that, but Steph Curry is the game changer.
I would say this. Steph Curry is the best shooter in the game. There's no question about that. But when Steph Curry's off, other people have had to step in and pick it up until he gets on. And when he gets on, you're good. He can't have one of those nights tonight. Can't have it. You get down 10, 15 points tonight, it might be kiss the baby.
Yeah, and Siakam's played well, and certainly Kawhi's played well.
He's played a lot better than people anticipate because they were talking about how in the first game he wasn't going to be able to, you know, contribute as much. He did pretty good in the second one as well.
Mm-hmm.
He started to become one of those guys that people are looking at. Like, this series is going to make him a star if he can keep up this pace.
I agree. Talking about Siakam?
Yes.
Yeah. We're talking about the NBA Finals tonight. One of the things that Toronto can do, and we talk about their defense, is that with let's say the Klay's out, many fans don't realize you can now play zone in the NBA. Most teams don't play zone, but Toronto did a little bit in Game 2. They could go to what they call a box and one hue, which is to put four guys in a zone, kind of like in the two guys at the foul line on either side and two guys down on the block on either side. That's the box.
Mm-hmm.
And then the and one is you just assign somebody to Steph Curry, you know, and he chases Steph Curry around. And
it's a lot of chasing. Good luck with
that. Yeah, it's a lot of chasing.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Steph is a guy that he runs all over the place. He's definitely all over the place.
Yeah, so we're talking about Game 3 tonight between Golden State and Toronto, and it is a critical Game 3, I think, for Toronto because if Golden State can win this game tonight, you really put Toronto in a tough spot because if you can't start to beat these guys when they're all dinged up and you just lost a game you should have won in Game 2, it just, you know, it makes things kind of start to get a little squirrely for you.
Yeah, I agree. But going into this one is like that whole bench depth for Golden State is going to be huge. It's going to be a bigger factor than it has been in the first two games.
You know, I still wonder now because they're tight-lipped about it, but when it comes to Kevin Durant, I wonder what they're talking about with his calf because, again, I think today is a full month he's been out.
John, it's when you're a smaller guy and
– you're talking about thin.
Like thin, and you don't have that much body fat. It takes longer to heal. It's a weird thing. Like, you see guys that – I've played with guys that had, like, 4% body fat, 2% body fat. When they get muscle tears and muscle strains – it takes them longer to heal because they don't have that cushion that helps repair the body. It's just one of those things. you have injuries like that, it just takes a while. And then it's the mental side of it too. Because if you're out there and you don't feel right, that's another thing. It just takes a toll on you. If you don't feel like you can be you, it takes its toll on you.
Yeah, does that give you concern if you're the New York Knicks? If you're thinking about...
Wait a minute, where did the Knicks come in at? What are you talking about?
Well, if they're going to try and sign him in the offseason.
Can we get past this season first? I don't think he's going to be hurt when the following season starts. I don't think he's going to be hurt by then. I think he'll be good and healed by then.
Hey, you can join Sports Radio 90-10 The Game Friday at Twin Peaks and Buckhead, and the Dukes of Bell Show are going to be broadcasting live Friday, 2 to 7, Twin Peaks and Buckhead. That's the one on Peachtree in Piedmont. And start your weekend right with all that craveable man food at Twin Peaks and Buckhead with Dukes of Bell, 2 to 7 on Friday. Las Vegas is not ready for what is about to hit the strip. We'll tell you that next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90-10 The Game and 90-10thegame.com.
Vegas! Vegas, baby! Vegas!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here! Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.